Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk to a couple of stand-up comedians of varying talents and abilities, Jay Whitaker and Johnny Brandon, and we've got music for you from Chance Lewis and Wake Up Nebula. We are very happy to welcome comedian Jay Whitaker into our beautiful underground studio. Jay, thanks so much for coming in here.
Thank you for having me. This is very vibrant. For those who can't see, there's a lot of stuff on the wall.
it's a colorful melange of things happening here. Well, we're going to get into all kinds of stuff with you real fast. We got a few minutes to chat. Why don't we start, from what I gather, we're almost exactly 3 years into you doing stand-up comedy. As we record this. You're from California originally.
Yeah, from
came
LA.
To Utah. Did you start doing comedy before you got here or after you got to Utah?
I would always write. I grew up around it. I have some family members that do comedy, and they were around. I would go to the improv a lot and break. And a lot of the times Irvine Improv as a kid when I moved out to Orange County, but just really just grew up around the whole scene.
They let you little guys in there?
You know what? I was 17 years old and I snuck in to see Dennis Miller with my brother, and that was one of the coolest. The coolest part was I read the paper that day, so I was like very current. You know how he's so topical, so it was a really, really fun time. And I sat in the front row and he looks over, he's like, "What the hell?" He's like, "My demographic is changing."
Yeah, right.
When did 17-year-old young black men start loving Dennis Miller?
Yeah, right.
Loved him.
That's funny. I mean, do you think that it was that family influence that kind of got you a little more interested, or was it like seeing famous guys?
Right. Well, you know what it was? It's a combination. Yeah, I grew up around it. My dad, he worked as a nightclub promoter back in the 80s and 90s.
Wow.
Like, back when Jodeci and
nice.
Jamie Foxx was a lounge singer.
I think that might be the first Jodeci name drop ever on the Soundwaves podcast.
My pops,
I like it.
My pops used to book Jodeci. And
nice.
So it was a good time. And I just grew up around being backstage, being a lot of funny people.
Yeah.
You know, I got a chance to meet Jamie Foxx at what, the age of 9.
Oh, wow.
And Martin. It was just a lot of, there was so much going on in LA. These places like the Palace, the Palladium, the Baked Potato. These places are still there, too.
Yeah, right.
And so I used to go there with my pops a lot, and there would always be comedians there. Robin Harris, who, rest in peace, one of the greatest from Bebe's Kids. Go look him up.
Yeah.
But Robin Harris, you know, and that was another one. I remember listening to that CD over and over and again, Bebe's Kids, because it was just so in your face. I wish he was still alive today.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's where, and then I went through a lot of stuff in my life. Like, I wanted to be a comic. I always thought about it, but then one, long story short, some tragedy happened, and it kind of gave me the push to do it. A close friend of mine, Robert Sickles, passed on, and he always told me I should be a comedian. So when he passed on, I can honor his legacy. And he
inspired you to kind of get on with it.
Got up on stage. Well, then, and then I saw Kevin Hart like a month before I did. When he came to a problem, and he rocked it, and I was like, you know what, let's do it, and it was great. I was able to not see a therapist anymore because I could just
you could talk to the audience.
Yeah, I could talk to the audience. It's great.
What I mean, do you remember that very first night? I mean, was it like an open mic situation where you got up?
It was open mic at Wise Guys, the Trolley Square. I went there to just check it out with two friends of mine, and just to check it out, you know, because I was thinking about doing it. And then I watched three people bomb. I won't say who, but I watched three people bomb, and I was like, you know what, I can do this. And I asked the host, Scott Tim Thorne, who was nice enough to let me go up. I guess it was a dead night, and so I went up. I just came from work. I felt like I was wearing a Cosby sweater, but I did okay. And he told me to keep coming back. And then,
but did you have some stuff that you had actually like kind of written or worked in your head, or just stuff that you felt like if I ever got up, this is the one?
What I did was my material. I'm a break room kind of comedian, so like, you know, that's one way I could describe it. Is I would see people and we'd laugh it up in the break room on our lunch break at work, and I would just talk about. I basically just reiterated that. It just worked out. I mean, hey, I don't know. I just talk about what goes on in my day. Like, some days nothing will happen.
Right.
And some days you got to do stupid stuff.
Just work through it.
Yeah, just
through.
Like, I'll get involved in a certain situation where I'm like, oh, this is an idiot, but this is idiotic, but oh well, we'll just make some material out of it.
How long did you kind of keep going back to maybe those open mic nights before you started getting kind of your own slot on other people's bills and doing some of your own gigs?
I would say maybe like a couple months. You know, you bring an audience, they pay attention to that, and I was just trying to be consistent and always having fun while I'm up there. I mean, that's the biggest thing is like you only get an X amount of time to chat, whether it's 3 minutes or an hour.
Right.
But you want to have fun while you're up there.
That's
and I feel that when I'm up there and I'm having a good time, I encourage the people to have a good time with me. It's a party. We're all talking about stuff that happens to us.
Yeah.
And just enjoy it while you're up there.
Do you feel like it's at all? I mean, the comedy scene in Utah and Salt Lake City area have grown significantly over the years, but it's not like LA still,
right,
where going out to comedy clubs is a real regular part of a lot of people's lives. Do you find that more difficult, or is it like a fun challenge when
it's
the audience
challenge
doesn't do it every weekend?
Exactly.
Maybe once a year.
It's exactly I couldn't agree with you more. It's a fun challenge. We'll never be a New York and an LA, because those names are synonymous when you think stand up comedy. But
right,
I would like to be a second tier city up there with the Chicagos, the Seattles, the Atlantas, the Denvers.
Right.
I want to be up there. I want Salt Lake to be that, in that second tier. When you mention great comedy clubs, you want to mention the places out here in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And so, that's the challenge, is you want to build up the scene. But the economy here in Salt Lake is growing, so that allows for everything else to grow with it. You just kind of have to calculate it and be smart with it.
That's right. That's right. And like all entertainment here, everything kind of grows up a little slowly, maybe compared to other places, but it gets there. Have you done much touring yourself, or is that something you're looking to do more
of? This year is kind of the year. I kind of said screw everything else and I'm just going to go for it. I'm in the military as an member of the Air National Guard, and so I work with them on a reservist status, but for the most time I am a full-time entertainer, comedian, actor, host, whatever, Decepticon, I don't care, whatever they'll take me on as. So I'll be doing a lot more TV spots, a lot more commercials this year. My plan is to just get involved in the touring and really, but always bringing, like, no matter what. Yes, I'm from Los Angeles, but they say home is where the heart is. I say home is where the start is. I got started here.
Nice.
And so that's where I'm gonna be loyal to.
Yeah.
And try. I mean, because LA will always be a part of me. I'm wearing an LA Kings hat as I'm doing this podcast. But
it's a short flight away. Yeah. Right.
But that's home. So I have two homes. And
not a bad thing.
But Salt Lake's always been great to me, and so my goal is to make sure that this is a happening scene. And and I know it's not just me. There's going to be plenty of other comedians that are about this. I hate to say movement because I sound like a rapper, but I do want it to feel like there is a comedy movement.
Yeah.
In Salt Lake. So
You can tell when a scene has life to it and when it doesn't, and you want to see that thing grow.
Right. Yeah.
First of all, thanks so much for coming in. Where can we find you? Where can we find info about you out there?
You know what? Go on my website, jaywhitakercomedy.com. That's JAYWHITTAKER. And then if you can't spell comedy, then you need
podcast.
You need Jesus. You need somebody. You need Jesus and a pamphlet. Okay?
That's right.
And then follow me on Twitter at TokenJ, TokenJay.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it so much. Thank y'all. I'm gonna sign the wall and I'm gonna do some graffiti, and then this is a nice little spot. So
that's right.
Thanks for having me.
Nice.
I appreciate it.
We'll do it again.
High five.
Chance Lewis is a hip-hop artist and producer that you may have heard from down Provo way. He usually performs with his fellow performer, Apt. They've become a staple of the 100-block music scene down there, and they're featured often at Muse Music Cafe. In December of 2011, Lewis released his debut EP called Underdog, which helped fund his brand new full-length album called We're Just Happy to Be Here. That came out almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half, December of 2012. Here's a song called Life's a Joke from that 2012 album by Chance Lewis.
I'm a slice of life. I'm a slice of life out of your party, make your face white. Got the tension in the room with a dull knife. Make you overthink the world till you hate life. Oh, there it goes. goes Chance once again, making a fool of us. What you gonna do with this kid? Bringing his crew with him in a music attempt for a secret set.
Pay him no attention.
I'm not trying to rent a parade, I'm just saying that the whole thing's a big charade. And if I have to stage a fake parade to illustrate my point, then it's already been made. What a terrible movie is a box of a smash. A horrible artist lives large of his cash. When life gets you sold out, it's not even funny. When headlines look like the game from The Onion. Hold on to your money and don't lose hope. You just figured out that life's a joke. And one of these days you're gonna figure out too that if you get lucky, the joke is on you. Life's a race, you can justify just about any way of life with some old wives' tale or saying. A half-truth cliche to explain away the world like there's reason or rhyme. Instead, I like to live by this one line. Or life's a joke, for better or worse, set a punchline and then you die.
Get more info on Lewis and download his music, visit him online at wearechancelewis.com. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week starting on February 25th and stretching into unbelievable March. That's right, we are heading into spring almost, people. There's lots of great stuff in there. I encourage you to go online every day to slugmag.com. Scroll down to the bottom of that homepage. Check out the awesome listings that are going up there all the time. There's always new stuff being added. I found plenty of goodies for this week. Starting on Tuesday, February 25th, Nikki Bloom and the Gramblers, along with Dead Winter Carpenters, are playing at the State Room. I would highly suggest going on YouTube, do a search for Nikki Bloom and the Gramblers. They've done a couple of really cool little mini sets in their van as they travel around the country. Pretty hilarious. They've covered Hall & Oates. They've done some originals. Pretty cool roots rock band. Well worth seeing. Wednesday, February 26th, a couple shows for the old-timers out there, and by old-timers, I mean me and people of my age. We have Skinny Puppy headlining along with Army of the Universe at the Lo-Fi Cafe. I remember seeing Skinny Puppy at the Speedway before the 1990 turn of the decade, so they've been around a hell of a long time. Along with them that same night, the English Beat, who I've talked about before, one of my personal favorites, ska classics from England. They're playing at the Depot, so a couple of 80s refugees sticking around. They're both playing on Wednesday, February 26th. On Thursday, February 27th, one of my favorite hip-hop artists, Charlie Tuna. He's a big part of Jurassic 5, but he's also put out some great solo albums, done some live tours on his own, as well as with the band. Sometimes he brings a whole live band with him. That's really cool. Other times, just a DJ. He's playing along with Scenic Byway at Urban Lounge. That'll be a great show for a Thursday night. Friday, February 28th, of course, the highlight is Slug's 25th anniversary party at Urban Lounge. Whole lot of local metal going on. That is going to be a blast. Right up the hill from Urban, Bill Cosby, the Conic legend. He's headlining at Kingsbury Hall. That'll be a great show. Then on Saturday, March 1st, Scott H. Byram playing at the Garage. He's come through and played at the Heavy Metal Shop before. Another kind of rootsy rock cat. Really good live shows always. The Garage will be a great place to see him. That is your weekly daily calendar for the week of February 25th into March 3rd. As I mentioned, go to slugmag.com every damn day. Check out what's going on. And if you want to put your own listings on there, that is free to do. And for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some quality links to your content. We are happy to welcome Johnny Brandon into our little hovel of a studio down here to talk about the local comedy scene, his role in it, and what he's been up to the last few years. First, Johnny, thank you for coming in. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here.
Why don't we just sort of delve in? I understand you came to Salt Lake from Vegas previously.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, did you grow up in Vegas?
Yeah, I did. I was born and raised there.
Okay. What sort of inspired you to delve into Utah, of all places?
So, like, my family moved here, and then I just kind of moved here for work, kind of. That's the story I'm going with.
Okay. Did you start doing comedy when you were still in Vegas, or were you kind of...
Yeah, I did, actually. I started doing it, like, kind of right out of high school or kind of in high school. And back then, I used to go by the stage name Jello.
Okay.
And the reason why I had that stage name was we knew this dude in high school that did acid, and, like, we recorded him, and he was rolling around on the floor going, "I'm Jello, I'm Jello." And my friends said I was, like, a walking acid trip. That's how I
got that name.
Yeah. And that kind of like informed my comedy, I guess, a little bit, because I'm just really into surrealism and stuff like that.
Did you find it, I guess tell me a little bit about your first sort of experience of going out and doing it for people.
I used to kind of busk or like street perform and just do weird stuff I could get into punk shows.
Oh, nice.
And then they were just finally like, "Do you just want to do it on stage and we'll let you in the show?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Great.
So yeah. That's how it happened. It started off with like just sock puppets and song parodies.
Okay.
So it was like Weird Al meets Syphil and Ollie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Do people, from us non-Vegas folks, you know, the historical reputation are all these kind of big casino show things. But, you know, I've learned over the last few years just personally that there is like this little local kind of underground culture going on there, whether it be punk bars and music and stuff. What's it like when you're growing up there and kind of getting into like the art scene like this?
In a lot of ways, I think it's like very similar to here. You know, it's like you've got your art district and you've got, you know, your people that like kind of know everybody that's like in the punk scene or the art scene or the comedy scene, music scene, what have you.
See the same people in the same places.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like pretty much all your friends just hanging out in like different roles or different places, you know?
Okay. So when you came up to Salt Lake, did you immediately start looking for places to perform like you were doing down there? Or did you kind of have to poke around and find out where it might be kind of a welcome form up here?
You know what I did? And it took me like maybe like a year or two to actually find out where like all the cool people were. And like now that like I've like I think I found it, like I've met some really awesome people here, so you know I'm grateful I stuck it out, you know.
Do you feel that your personal, you know, going from that kind of the early background where you're already kind of tapping into surreal kind of stuff, how would you describe how it's developed since then? Has it just gotten more pronounced and more surreal, or do you kind of delve into lots of different kind of styles more?
Right now I'm trying to work on something that's like more like homogenous, or something that's more like actual stand-up mixed with something just like out of this world, or kind of like just weird.
Yeah.
But I want it to like flow to where it's like joke, 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 weird thing, joke, joke, joke song.
Right. You know? Okay. Yeah. So like you could get in front of sort of a, I don't know what the word, like just a typical straight kind of audience maybe.
Yeah.
And they'll feel like I get that comfortable thing of here's a guy telling jokes, and then you get them kind of weirded out.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, yeah. Like one of my main goals is to try to confuse people into laughing.
Okay. Well, and you had mentioned to me right before we started that you host a lot of the Comedy Roadkill shows that are, what, at Moe's now?
Yeah.
Is it going by that name still?
Yeah, well, it's going by Comedy Roadkill Part 2.
Okay.
And that's every Tuesday. It's like 7 o'clock or 7:30. Yeah, 7:30. Okay. I try to just keep it fresh, keep it interesting. Like, I'm usually the host, but not this week.
Okay.
Just so people don't get tired of me.
Sure.
And then I like to do like theme shows, like not this week, but the next week is going to be like imaginary character erotic poetry. Oh, okay. So it's like write something on, like, what do you think Frankenstein's erotic poetry would sound like?
Okay. Or, nice. You know. Do you work with, is it a rotating cast of comedians who work there consistently at those shows, or do people differently drop in different weeks?
I'd say both.
Okay. So you can throw something out there that's kind of like a challenge to the group in a way and see what people come up with?
Yeah, last week we had Fake It or Make It Song Challenge. You have to guess a TV theme song, and if you get it wrong, then you have to sing what you think the song sounds like, or your version of the song.
Right.
So that was really fun. I had a lot of fun doing that.
How would you kind of characterize an audience that goes to see comedy in a place that's more like a rock club than like your kind of standard comedy club? I mean, is it... Can you tell a difference when you're on stage?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think that the audiences at the rock clubs or whatever, they seem to get it. You know, air quotations for the people that can't see me doing that.
Right.
I think they get it just a little more than say a mainstream audience, because I think there are some jokes that go over some people's heads.
Right.
But they really seem
you
to
probably
kind
get
of,
away with more surreal with them with somebody who just wants kind of the setup joke kind of thing. Nice. Besides the Comedy Roadkill, too, I mean, what other things do you have coming up? Anything you want to pimp out there?
I'm doing a show, I think, March 4th at About Time in Ogden.
Oh, nice.
And this is really bad, but, I believe I'm doing a show sometime at K-Town Comedy, but for the life of me, I can't remember the date.
Right, right.
That helps you a lot, right?
Can people find you out there on the interwebs anywhere?
Yeah, you can find me at Johnny Brandon on Facebook. You can find me at Angelo Watanuki on YouTube.
You can guess how to spell that, people.
Yeah.
I found you just by searching for Johnny Brandon on YouTube, so I can vouch for that.
Just do Johnny Brandon. That's easier. And then I'm also Johnny Brandon on Twitter. You can find me on Tumblr at Johnny Nicknames.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All over the place. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate the time and look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Cool. Thanks.
As always, thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, I will point you towards slugmag.com, where you can always find new content every damn day of the week. Lots of great stuff on there. Coming up in our next edition, we are going to have Jimmy Martin in the studio to tell us about all the great stuff coming up this spring to look forward to as the movies turn into blockbuster season heading into summer. We'd like to hear what you're looking forward to the most out of all those movies. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundwaves or via Facebook at facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your suggestion on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Theme song performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design is by T-Dome. Technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire us up next week. As I mentioned, Jimmy Martin talking spring films and the Yelp Utah in the studio to talk about the best dinner spots around town. Thanks for listening.